the introductions, because I tended on these workshops to mess up names, and even though I know these people, it's wonderful to not get the chance to flub it all.
To not get the chance?
Well, I have a tendency, per workshop, I stick my foot in my mouth once. Hopefully it's not a bad one, but sometimes it just happens. Each of the people on this workshop are musicians, definitely singers. A lot of them also play instruments. And somewhere in their enjoying music, learning about music, they decided to write songs. I think songwriting is probably the most personal kind of music you can do. You take something that you really feel and you try to write something about it. Probably 3/4 of the people that write songs never share them with people. Either you think they're not good enough or they're very personal and you can't somehow bring yourself to share that personal experience that you put into a song with other people. And each of the folks here has written songs that they do perform. Many of them are on record. And what I wanted to talk with them about during this program is perhaps what started them writing songs, and also deal with two types of songs. I think there are songs that you write when you have a message to deliver, something, it's not just political, but even a social issue that you have to deal with, that you feel is important enough that you want to write a song. Sometimes it's just to let it out for you, but sometimes it's also, it's an issue that you want other people to think about and deal with. And so, like particularly I think about Hazel's songs, like Don't Put Her Down, You Help Put Her There. Songs are Mary Johnson. That's yours, right? That's Hazel? That's Alice's? Okay. Stick my foot in my mouth. That's it for the day.
That's the first time.
That's it. I'm going to quit after that. But some of those women's songs are not so much, you know...
See, I'll forgive you because it's a good song.
Okay, good. those are things that people didn't used to write about, and it's a big step to go into writing women's songs. And to me, on a level, I would think you would wonder what people would think when you present a song like that to an audience. The first time you bring it out, are people going to hate that? Are they going to like that? What's the reaction? And maybe since I started on that genre, maybe you could tell us, you know, about what made you start writing songs and what were the kinds of songs you first tried to express when you were writing?
Well, I think the first songs I tried that I had any recognition for was Black Lung, which I wrote for my oldest brother who died with black lung. And that was more or less not something that I was just trying to write to sing, you know, to sing out or to sing to an audience. It was mostly a lot of feelings that I was dealing with inside that I had no other way to express it. And since I was a singer and was performing, it's just something that I sat down one day and just kind of poured out on paper and trying to speak some for him, which I felt that he never did during his life. And also, I guess, relieve some of my frustrations that I felt about the way he had been treated. And in that case, I wasn't really actually trying to write in the beginning for commercial purposes or just to write to perform them. It was mostly from my own satisfaction. It's sort of therapeutic to do it, I guess.
How long ago was that?
About 1969 or 70 long.
How did it feel to present that to other people? Were you scared
terribly. In the beginning, I could not get through it. It took me a couple of years singing it out to get through it. I would usually crack up about in the middle of it. You just thinking about it. I mean, the imagery, because I'm a very... what do you call it?
Sensitive.
I get the images in my head as I sing.
Emotional.
I think Jean is like this too. I was watching her last night, reliving everything that she was singing about. It's very interesting to watch people like that. You can always tell somebody that does. Craig's another one that does that. But you relive it. That's the only way that you can present the story because that's the kind of person that you are. And they say the mark of professionalism is when you get to the point where you can actually sing it and try to divorce yourself from the emotional part of it. It's real
hard
to do.
You have to, in a way, because if something means that much to you, you can't sing it unless you do divorce yourself a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
You can still feel it, but you have to. I know a couple
hold
of my songs
back.
Are like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't sing them for several times. I couldn't, you know, I'd start crying when I'd sing them because, but then after a while, after I sang them 10 times maybe in front of audiences, I got so I could,
helped you over
what
that.
Helen said, get on automatic pilot and just go through.
Yeah,
you have to do that.
That's true.
After that, did you at some point make a conscious effort to write songs with a message to them? Was there a transition stage in your songwriting?
Yeah, definitely, because I realized that that you don't have to write bad songs. You know, that's just, you really don't have to. I mean, there's no sense in the world why you have to sit down and put a bunch of nonsense words on paper and dump this on people. You know, there's just really no sense in it, you know. And I just hear one song after the other that people record and put out there. It's just a real mess that they dump on us, particularly in commercial music. One thing I've noticed, you don't have to excuse me. I just really have a really, oh good. I'm just really upset by what they try to sell us and take our money for. And not only that, the prices have went up. They keep going up, you know. If they were giving you anything, it would be different. And one thing I've noticed, though, in the last year, I think it is, people have become more conscious, even in some of the rock songs, and all those, not that I listen to that stuff, but you can't help it if you go in a store. They have it all over the place. And but the words are getting better, and so there's hope. It's not anything that I would buy, but the words.
Well, you can hear the words now. You didn't.
You can hear.
Would you want to share a song with us? Would you like to do Black Lonely?
Why don't you just talk a little bit more?
You want us to talk? You want us to go around and talk some more? You want a few minutes?
Well, what
I'd
do you
love
want
to
hear?
Well, I was thinking maybe Black Lung for people that haven't heard it.
Oh, God. Has anybody here not heard Black Lung?
See?
Oh, my Lord.
Well,
not as popular as I thought I was.
Does anybody need her name too?
This is Hazel Dickens over here. I'm Joan Fenton.
That's Joan Fenton. From New York City. You can tell by her twang.
It's getting there. I'm working on it.
Are you
going to
play guitar
in
it or just singing on it?
Oh, no, I'm just getting my chord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
why
sorry.
I didn't move the mic.
Oh, okay. You needed
smarter
the extra
than you think.
Thank you, Joan.
That's
she's
the other
ball.
Joan.
If I can stop burping, I ate too much lunch. He's had more hard luck than most men could stand. The mines was his first love, but never his friend. He's lived a hard life and hard he'll die. Black Lung's done got him, his time is nigh. Black Lung, Black Lung, you're just biding your time. Soon all this suffering I'll leave behind, but I can't help but wonder what God had in mind to send such a devil to claim this soul of mine. He went to the boss man, but he closed the door. Well, it seems you're not wanted when you're sick and you're poor. You're not even covered in their medical plans, and your life depends on the favors of man. Down in the poorhouse on starvation's plan, where pride is a stranger and doomed is a man, his
'cause till his body's decayed and everyone but black lungs done turned him away. Black lung, oh, your hands I see cold. As you reach for my life and you torture my soul, cold as that water hole down in that dark cave where I spent my life's blood digging my own grave. Down at the graveyard, the boss man came with his little bunch of flowers. Dear God, what a shame. Take back those flowers. Don't you sing those sad songs. The die has been cast now. A good man is gone.
We're going to go around in a circle here and then come back to you some more. But if people, I think what I'd like to do is at least go around one time through the performers up here. And then as we get on with the program, too, if people in the audience have questions, that would be great. If you do think you have something that's pertinent to what's going on, ask it now. If it's just something you want to ask that's not exactly related to what we're doing, hold it, and there will be time later. Rick Good next. When did you start writing songs? And why?
I was pretty young and in school. Might even have been in the eighth grade, actually, when I first started writing music and playing music. It all happened at the same time, probably like it does for a lot of people. You aren't really good enough to play any songs that you hear, so you make something up that fits with what you do know how to do.
I think that's a stage a lot of people go through in terms of, you know, if you can't follow something, you try to write it yourself. What were the things that you were writing about? What kind of topics?
Oh, I don't...
You don't even want to...
Really, nothing certainly I would even remember or want to remember.
When did you start then, would you say, writing songs that you felt were something you could share with people?
Well, I reached a point, 5 or 6 years after that, where I thought, none of this stuff is really worth anything. You know, this is just as bad as most everything.
That you rejected.
Yeah, the whole thing that Hazel was talking about. You know. So I stopped for a long time, and then.
That's what I did too.
Yeah, and then after a period of a few years, suddenly a few things started falling together, and I realized that here was something that may turn into a song worth keeping.
Were you performing at that time?
Well, I've been playing in bands all that time.
Because I think sometimes, at least for me, I run into, it's real hard to find songs to sing. You know, there's something that you want to be saying in a song, and if you can't find songs in a repertoire that's available that say that, sometimes there is a necessity to write a song. I do a lot of women's blues, and out of 100 tunes, there may be 2 songs that have lyrics that are reasonable to be singing. And I wonder if you ran into that in terms of why you wanted to write songs. Or was it?
Maybe not real specifically, but one thing that does come to mind is that I played in a band that was together for a long time and developed a style. And so it was really easy to compose within that style. You had not only the pieces in the band instrumentally to think about while making up a song, you had vocal arrangements that you could almost already hear and kind of write in terms of those.
Do you want to share one of those songs with us?
Or
does that sound awful to you to not have the band then with it?
Yeah, it would be a different thing for sure. For instance, a gospel quartet would really be hard to do by yourself. Because when you write it for, you know, you can hear the bass voice doing this line and maybe the tenor voice doing an answer or a call. And once the band's not there, you really can't perform a gospel quartet.
Go ahead and sing.
It's one of those bluegrass style ones that goes by so fast that by the time you know it, it's over. But I do have a song that came to mind. I think a common experience with people who start to write songs is you start out pretty serious. In fact, you get into a serious rut, and I think it has a lot to do with the state of mind that you're in when you feel like writing a song. You're usually fairly contemplative and by yourself, and I think that lends a lot to why young songwriters tend to write really introspective, slow, boring type things at first, and it takes a real effort to pull yourself out of that rut. So an up-tempo song with maybe some humor to it is not as easy as writing some kind of heartbreak and sorrow type thing. And I had an idea that I wanted to express that, how do I get into this? The name of the song is Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. And those two symbols are kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, and how neither one of them by themselves is really going to do it for you. You have to have both of them. You can't expect to get through life staying up every Saturday night and never going to church on Sunday morning. And on the other hand, Saturday night, old Deacon Jones got his nose in the Bible and his mind on the Lord. Sitting all alone, he's got a sermon to write. But that's a hell of a way to spend a Saturday night. 'Cause Sunday morning, half the congregation won't even hear what the deacon is a-preaching. It's all they can do to keep their heads upright. They didn't get no sleep on Saturday night. Saturday night, Sunday morning, one don't fall without the other come a-dawning. Heed my cry, it's a wise man's warning. You got Saturday night, you got Sunday morning. Next Saturday night, at the watering hole where the brothers and the sisters go to lose control. Who should arrive? It was a startling sight. It was the deacon come a-seeking out Saturday night. He said, there's two sides to every story, and I'm getting tired of just Sunday morning. If old Daddy Adam hadn't taken a bite, who'd have raised Cain on Saturday night? Saturday night, Sunday morning, one don't fall without the other come a-dawning. Heed my cry, it's a wise man's warning. You got Saturday night, you got Sunday morning. And when the church bell tolled next Sunday morning, why not one soul in the fold was a-yawning. The deacon was a-preaching with all of his might. If you're gonna go to reaching for the heavenly light, you gotta get a little lit on Saturday night. Saturday night, Sunday morning, one don't fall without the other come a-dawning. Heed my cry, it's a wise man's warning. You got Saturday night, you got Sunday morning. Saturday night, you got Sunday morning. Saturday night, you got Sunday morning.
I like that. Gene Ritchie has written many, many songs. Did you, when you were little, sit around and make up songs?
No, the most I ever did when I was a little girl was to change the old songs because I'd forget the words or forget the lines or something and have to fill in. If I was singing by myself, it didn't matter, but if someone was listening to me, why, it was better to keep on going and make up something than it was to stop and say, I forgot, you know, so. But when you're raised up with long ballads and things, you don't forget too much, and so I didn't make too many changes. I didn't start writing until I was married and had children, and started writing, you know, singing lullabies to the kids and making up things for them.
Was that a conscious decision? I mean, did you think, gee, I'd like to make up a song?
No.
Or you just did it?
No, mainly the major songs that I've written, if any of them are major, are songs that came out of situations that had no old songs to go with them. Because I had so many old songs, there's just hundreds of them in the family and community back there in that part of Kentucky. So I had a song for every occasion without having to make up anything. But when mining, the mining problems came along, and especially strip mining, I think that's what got me started on really making up songs.
Were you aware of any other repertoire of songs about strip mining or mining, or was this something new that you were doing?
I'd heard the old songs about mining. We had a miner singer-songwriter back in the early days named George Davis, the singing miner in Hazard, and he used to come on the radio once a week, and he had a 15-minute spot, and he would sing songs, old songs about mining, like Only a Miner, and different disaster songs, and then he'd make up songs of his own, but he always sung something about coal mining, and that was where I heard most of my mining songs.
Was there some major event or happening that made you start writing mining songs?
Well, I suppose the first, I get my dates all mixed up now. All these mining songs sort of happened, and I made most of them up, I think, within a 2 or 3 year period, and it's hard to remember just which ones came first. I guess probably the first one was either the LNN, probably, or Blackwaters, or West Virginia Mine Disaster. I don't know. They're all three lumped in there together.
What period was that? Do you remember about when?
I think they were written in the late 50s. I didn't copyright them until the 60s when they were recorded.
Did you perform them soon after you wrote them, or was it something you kind of held back for yourself?
No, I never thought they were, you know, you never think it's a song until you hear somebody else sing it. When you sing it yourself, it's just a little old thing you use over the dishpan or, you know, something that I did, a homemade thing. But when you hear, the first time somebody else sang one of my songs, I think that was one of the high points of my life, because I said, well, now that's a real song because somebody else is singing it besides me. But the first song I ever had the nerve to sing in public, I think, was Black Waters, because Pete Seeger called me one day and said, yeah, I live in Port Washington outside New York City when I'm not in Kentucky. And he called me and he said that they're going to have a tribute to Woody Guthrie. I don't know whether Woody was still alive then or not, but he had he was still alive because he just had a book come out, and I think it was Bound for Glory. And they were going to have a celebration for the book coming out, that's what it was, in Greenwich Village somewhere. And he asked me if I'd come and sing a song. Well, now, I didn't have too many songs that I could sing that would do justice to Woody Guthrie, so I quickly finished up Black Waters and practiced on it a while and went in and sung it and sort of dedicated it to him. Well, that was
What were you feeling the first time you went and performed it? Were you kind
scared
of
to death, shaking in my boots? My voice shook, so I don't think anybody could hear the words too well, and the sound was bad, but people seemed to sort of recognize it as a Woody Guthrie type of song. So they liked it all right.
Would you like to play that for us?
I guess I have to now.
Really?
You built it up now.
Here, we're going to use this one, I think.
My guitar better not have a mic.
No?
No, I don't play that well.
Did you tell them that you'd written it before you played it?
Yes, I said this is a song that I composed in the Woody Guthrie tradition, and so here it is for him, you know, something like that. And I think at first some of the people didn't couldn't believe that I had written a song like that, because I usually sing Lord Thomas and Fairy Ellender and, you know, pretty love songs and things like that. So it was hard to overcome that stereotype. I come from the mountains, Kentucky's my home, where the wild deer and the black bear so lately did roam. By cool rushing waterfalls, the wildflowers dream. And through every green valley there runs a clear stream. Now there's scenes of destruction on every hand, and there's only black waters run down through my land. Sad scenes of destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through my... You may be... I can't hear my own guitar now. That's what's the matter with me.
You want me to put the mic
on? Better mic it. Not over here. Yeah. Maybe I'll keep on pitch that way. You hear the bass and you don't hear the treble, so... In the rising of the springtime, we planted our corn. In the ending of the springtime, we buried a son. In summer, come a nice man, says everything's fine. My employer just requires a way to his mine. Then they threw down the mountain and covered my corn. And the grave on the hillside's a mile deeper down. And the man stands and talks with his hat in his hand. As the poisonous water spreads over my land, sad scenes of destruction on every hand. Black waters run down through the land. Well, I ain't got no money and not much of a home. I own my own land, but my land's not my own. But if I had 10 million somewheres thereabouts, I would buy Perry County and I'd run them all out. Sit down on the bank with my bait and my can, and just watch the clear waters run down through my land. Well, wouldn't that be like the old promised land? Black waters no more in my land.
Jean, before we go on, I just wondered, after you performed that and sang that, did that change people's outlook towards you, and all of a sudden they would expect more songs like this from you?
Not for years. On the Newport Festival, I was there all the years that they had the Newport Festival. I was one of the 7 original board members and charter board members, and so I was there every year helping to run things and making people comfortable and everything, and they'd occasionally put me on a stage and make me sing. And so for 4 or 5 years into the folk festival, into the Newport Folk Festival, Pete Seeger would say, get up and introduce me and say, and here's Jean Ritchie. She sings those beautiful ethereal ballads. And so then I'd come on and do Black Waters and all my other mining songs and everything. But he'd come back on and say, isn't that a wonderful contrast? You know, just these lovely, quiet songs. He just wasn't lit. He couldn't get it through his head. He couldn't make the transition. He just heard the sound of my voice and wasn't listening to what I was saying, I guess. I don't know. But after a while, he began to realize what the songs were saying, and I think he knows me a little better now anyway. So.
Okay, last on the panel is Greg Johnson. And Greg and I were talking before this, and I had asked him how many songs he thought were basically political. And I don't know if that's the right term. Maybe songs that have a message other than social message, I guess. And he said that he had two of those, so I had really asked at least that he share some of that with us. And maybe you tell us at what point in your life you decided, whether consciously or unconsciously, to start writing songs.
Oh, well, I guess I've written off and on for about as long as I've been playing old-time music, which is about 13, 14 years, something like that. And much the same as what you said, I've only written things when I couldn't find something else that said what I wanted to say. And that's been few and far between, because most of the old songs take care of it for me. And some of my music I think of as being political, though I think that all of us who are up here and probably most of you who listen to this kind of music are making a fairly strong political statement by making your own music instead of listening to what comes over the radio anyway. So,
when did you first perform a song that you'd written in front of people?
About 1976. 75.
Was it a particular song, or did you have a body of songs and you were finally ready to do it, to share them? Or was there one song that you thought